A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion approached him and appealed to him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, suffering dreadfully." Jesus said to him, "I will come and cure him." The centurion said in reply, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you enter under my roof. Only say the word, and my servant shall be healed. For I too am a man subject to authority, with soldiers subject to me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes. To another, 'Come here,' and he comes. To my slave, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Amen, I say to you, in no one in Israel have I found such faith. I say to you, many will come from the east and the west, who will recline with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the banquet in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom will be driven out into the outer darkness, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth." And Jesus said to the centurion, "You may go. As you have believed, let it be done for you." And at that very moment, his servant was healed. Jesus entered the house of Peter and saw his mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand. The fever left her, and she rose and waited on him. When it was evening, they brought him many who were possessed by demons. And he drove out the spirits by a word and cured all the sick, to fulfill what had been said by Isaiah the prophet, "He took away our infirmities and bore our diseases." The Gospel of the Lord. In today's readings, God speaks to us about our receptivity, our hospitality toward him, the way we long for his presence, the way we treasure his presence. The centurion doesn't feel worthy that Jesus should make the effort and even enter under his roof. And with incredible faith, he just says, "All you have to do is say a command from this great distance." He knew what the Lord was capable of. He already had that receptivity of faith, which is far more important than a receptivity in a house. He was totally open to what the Lord would do. We see that type of loving receptivity as well, featured by our father in faith, Abraham, in the first reading. He sees three men. He goes out and treats them as if they were God. Three strangers at first. He immediately gets Sarah to start baking some bread. He goes and he kills a steer in order to be able to feed them. And then while they're eating, Abraham waits on them. Strangers, it seems. But Jesus would say much later, "Whatever you've done for the least of my brothers and sisters, you've done for me." He was treating them like the Lord. And in fact, if you treat everybody like the Lord and the Lord shows on up, you're going to be just fine. And so there, that great miracle was given to make Sarah receptive for a son as the son of the promise. This type of receptivity, this type of faith, this type of charity is something we're all supposed to have for Christ and others. Today I'd like to talk about St. Jose Maria and his receptivity, especially for the Holy Eucharist as we prepare to celebrate tomorrow the great solemnity of Corpus Christi. St. Jose Maria said, the way that we relate to the Lord is in proportion to our faith and to our love. Our faith that it is really Jesus in the Eucharist, and the type of love that we have for the Lord. If we really know that it's the Lord and we really love him, then we will hold nothing back. Tomorrow we're going to be reflecting on the words of the sequence that we will be singing for Corpus Christi. At the beginning of that second verse, there's a beautiful expression, quantum potes non aude, tantum aude, excuse me. How much ever you can dare to do that much. In other words, there is no love. In response to Jesus in the Eucharist, we can never love him enough. We can never do enough. We can never express that love enough. So St. Jose Maria used to always do that, in small ways and in big ways. Corpus Christi processions, but every day in the ways that he would genuflect, he would try to teach others how to do a truly reverent genuflection. In Spain, for example, there were a lot of, girly men genuflections. You know, where some of the times, you know, in the U.S. military, for example, they really know how to do a salute. When you look at a place with mandatory military service, they start kind of doing stuff like this. And that was the way people would genuflect to the Lord. You know, you'd see these guys going on up and kind of do one of these, and they'd start sort of running circles all over. And it used to drive St. Jose Maria crazy, because it wasn't really a gesture of true reverential love for the King of Kings. So he would actually, as a priest, show people how to make a genuflection. And he'd say, as you're making that external sign of reverence, say on the inside, adoro te devote, latens deitas. I adore you with great devotion, O hidden God. Started to talk more and more about, if we really love the Lord in the Eucharist, the frequency of our visits of the Lord will be in correspondence to that love. We'll try to get into his presence as much as we can, to pray with him, to spend time with him. And when we can't, and there will be times when we can't, that we're making spiritual communions, and that we're constantly trying to gauge how close we are to the closest tabernacle. He'd always turn and make an aspiration to where he thought the closest tabernacle was, in a local church, in a nearby chapel. He'd always turn, no matter where he was. Even when he was on the plane, he would be making spiritual communions to Jesus, wherever he was underneath, in the mountainous regions over which he was flying, for example. We can never love the Lord enough. Quantum potes, tantum aude. He would also try to help us to make our entire life a mass. The way he would teach us how to do that was through making thanksgivings and preparations, going from one Holy Communion to another. I've mentioned before that what he would do after his morning mass is he'd start to make thanksgivings all the way up through noon. And from noon until the following day, he would start preparing for the following mass, stoking up his hunger. He wasn't that great a sleeper, and he would wake up many times in the middle of the night. And whenever he did, he tried during those couple of minutes before he would be able to fall back to bed to make acts of love for the Jesus in the Eucharist, whom he would receive in the morning. That led to his being able to give as an example that Jesus in the Eucharist needs to be the center and root of the Christian life. He was saying that before the Second Vatican Council said that Jesus in the Eucharist needs to be the source and the summit of any life that's truly Christian. So we prepare for the Feast of Corpus Christi tomorrow. We need that fervor of the saints. St. John Vianney used to always say, Jesus in the Eucharist has totally the power to make us a great saint. If we were to receive him with that real love, that real openness, that real receptivity, that real sense of unworthiness, but a recognition that despite all our unworthiness, the Lord in his greatness has done incredible things to us in our humility. And he's come to visit and dwell within. That there, in that very action, all of heaven is contained and the power to make us saints. On the Saturday in which we remember the Blessed Virgin Mary, he would always point to Our Lady as the model of that receptivity, going to the Annunciation and describing in great detail how she received the Lord without any conditions. She received the Lord with great trust. She received the Lord with great love. And the Lord was able to grow in her. The same Lord that she carried for 9 months, we're going to receive in Holy Communion. But that Lord is likewise supposed to grow and will grow within us in proportion to our faithful receptivity and our love and our interior reverence. Last thing I'll mention is because of the presence of many of our young people who will be going on pilgrimage today. St. Jose Maria was a huge proponent of pilgrimages. He would do many on his own. It came from his life being saved by a miracle when he was just 1 and a half. He was dying. The doctor said that it was all over, but his mom had faith, and so she packed him up in swaddling clothes and hiked up to this mountain shrine called Torre Ciudad, where it was basically falling into disrepair, but the altar of Our Lady was still there. With many tears, this mother went and brought her young Jose Maria and placed him on that broken altar before that image. He obviously didn't die. And from that point forward, St. Jose Maria recognized the power of prayer pilgrimages. And he would encourage in May and in October all his spiritual sons and daughters to make pilgrimages to Marian shrines, where you would pray 5 decades of the rosary on your way to the shrine, 5 there, and 5 on the return. And to bring intentions, especially the big intentions, whenever something was going on that threatened to destroy the work that God had asked him to found, Opus Dei, he would make a Marian pilgrimage to one of these great Marian shrines, Divino Amore, south of Rome, Loreto, where the Holy House is in Italy, Guadalupe, Lourdes, Fatima. He would always go and entrust everything to Our Lady. What a great example for you young people today as you go on out. Entrust this entire pilgrimage to Our Lady. Ask her to help you to receive Jesus with great love inside, and ask her to intercede for the grace that you might point so many others to this same love.